Christine Sandy, and I'm the Program Director of the Rural Assistance Center. I'd like to welcome you to today's webinar. And today's webinar is titled, A Human Services Update from the National Advisory Committee on Rural Health and Human Services. And I'd just like to mention that this is the second in a two-part series. Last week, we conducted a similar webinar regarding the committee's recent work related to rural health issues. The slides and the audio from that webinar are available in the webinars section of the RAC website, and a transcript and a video of that webinar will be made available at a later date. And before we get started, I'd just like to quickly run through a few housekeeping items. We hope to have time for your questions at the end of the webinar. If you have questions for our presenters, you can submit those towards the end of the webinar using the Q&A section of the screen that's right below the slides. We have provided a PDF copy of the presentation, and that's available on the RAC website, which is accessible either through the URL on your screen or by going to the RAC webinar page, which is www.raconline.org/webinars. And then you'd click into the presentation for today. If you do decide to go and download those slides during the webinar, we do ask that you don't close this webinar window or you would have to log back in. And if at any time today you have technical issues, we ask that you contact our support area using the phone number on the information screen. The number is, in case you're not seeing it, is 701-777-6305. Again, that's 701-777-6305. Our speakers today will discuss the recent work of the National Advisory Committee on Rural Health and Human Services, particularly in the area of human services. Our first speaker will be Governor Ronnie Musgrove, who has served as the chair of the National Advisory Committee since 2010. He previously served as the governor of Mississippi from 2000 to 2004, serving as the lieutenant governor prior to that. So for more than two decades, he's taken a leading role in the state of Mississippi to improve education and expand economic development. Governor Musgrove will give us an introduction to the work of the National Advisory Committee. Following his introduction, we will hear briefly from Steve Hirsch, a longtime staff member at the Federal Office of Rural Health Policy, who serves as the Executive Secretary for the National Advisory Committee. And our primary speaker for today's call will be Roland Gardner, who serves as a member of the National Advisory Committee. Roland has served as the Chief Executive Officer of the Beaufort-Jasper-Hampton Comprehensive Health Services for 30 years. Beaufort-Jasper-Hampton provides services to over 19,000 patients in a three-county area in South Carolina. So with that, I'll turn it over to Governor Musgrove for an introduction. Governor?
Thank you very much. The human services side of the committee focuses on ways the department can support and improve upon the human services safety net in rural America. Today's webinar will cover two recent human services policy briefs: the intersection of rural poverty and federal human services programs, and rural homelessness in America. Rural poverty is an area of great urgency. Poverty rates are higher in rural America than in the country as a whole, yet rural Americans face unique challenges in accessing human services, including a lack of providers and long travel times to services. At the same time, there's a lack of data to quantify the need for human services in rural America. We need rural-specific data to match what we know about urban poverty in human services. We know that there is a direct link between poverty and population health. With the shift in thinking in the medical community from volume to value, which puts a focus on population health, there will need to be a meaningful examination of the strengths and needs of the human services safety net across the country, including in rural areas. I thank you very much for joining today, and I believe that you will be enlightened by the speakers that we have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Governor Musgrove. And I would just like to remind everyone that you can submit questions through the Q&A box on your screen, and we will address those questions once all the speakers have presented. Next, we'll hear briefly from Steve Hirsch. Steve?
Thanks, Christine. Hi, I'm Steve Hirsch. I'm the Executive Secretary of the National Advisory Committee. I'd like to tell you a little about what the committee does before we go into hearing about the policy briefs. The National Advisory Committee is an independent board to advise the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services on issues related to how the department and its programs serve rural America. The committee is entirely made up of people from outside the federal government. We have usually 20 members and the chair, and you just heard from the chair, who's former governor of Mississippi, Ronnie Musgrove. The other folks are policy experts, are providers, both health and human services from all over the country. We have members from Maine to Alaska, and they cover all sorts of issues on rural health, and they are generous to lend their time and their expertise to the committee so that we can do the best work for the secretary possible. Over the years, the committee's prepared annual reports and or policy briefs for the secretary. In the past 4 years, we've sent 18 policy briefs to the secretary. The committee was established back when the Office of Rural Health Policy was established in 1987, but in 2002, Secretary Tommy Thompson expanded the focus to include rural human services, which we had not ever worked on before. And then, as has been mentioned, in 2010, Governor Musgrove was appointed the chair, and he's been a very active and involved chair of the committee. We have meetings usually twice a year, at least twice a year. Occasionally there's been more. We usually meet in the spring and the fall, somewhere out in the United States, and we hear presentations from national and regional experts, and then we include visits out to provider sites, including both human services and rural health providers. And those visits really help inform the policy and the recommendations that the committee can make to the secretary. Over the last couple years, here are the site meetings we've had in Colorado, Montana, Nebraska, and South Dakota. All of these have helped us prepare more informed briefs for and recommendations to the secretary. And at this point, actually, I'll turn it over to Roland so that he can speak about the challenges of rural poverty.
Thank you, Steve. My pleasure again. Welcome to today's seminar. As you know, rural America has 20% of the total population. Actually, 1 in 4 rural children currently live in poverty, the highest rate since 1986. And the gap between rural and urban child poverty continues to rise, and we see it rising almost every 3 to 5 years. 90% of persistent poverty counties are non-metro counties. Those are the smaller counties. This is the graph that shows the overall poverty rate by metro and non-metro residency. You see the higher on the purple colors are the non-metro and the metro areas, and then the lower is the metro. So you see the pattern continues. It has been since 1976. The curves that you see are consistent with what we've seen for the last 15-18 years. Deep poverty rates by non-metro residents. 1970-2012, you see the huge increase between 1984 It stabilized over a period of years, and I'm not sure if Stephen can help me. It dropped for a while, and then it started rising again, and that's been consistent. Persistent poverty counties, you again see in the southeast, from North Carolina, that whole triangle back to Texas and New Mexico. It's much different than seeing the Midwestern areas and also in far west, but again, it's been consistent in the south, the southeast, and those areas. Over the past 20 years, life expectancy in rural areas have been consistently lower than urban areas. The gap continues to widen. We see the barriers of service in rural communities. Again, I can speak again about transportation barriers. Beaufort, Jackson, Hampton, Compiel, we serve three counties. And we have sites in, four sites in Beaufort, two in Jasper, and two in Hampton. But if you try to at least drive that area in one day, you're talking about us covering about 222 miles. So from our main site in southern part of Beaufort, St. Helena Island, going through the other sites will be around 220 miles. Isolated clients that need human services, you find this disparity in both geographic areas where, you know, you don't have a neighbor next door, or some of the neighbors are 10, 15, 20 miles away. That's in the south. You find out also it's in the Midwest. And there's a stigma about rural poverty because, again, the job opportunities are not there. You see major industries not there supporting infrastructure, so you don't have that as you would have in some of your urban areas. The lack of providers in some communities, we've experienced that here locally. You find that the majority or more and more of the National Health Service Corps sites in the southeast, and that desperate levels of federal, state, and local funding. You have different organizations like Farmers Home Administration that support community health centers, and also we've been fortunate in the past through the DHHS in getting that federal support, but then there's still a disparity between federal, state, and local funding. The shortage of high quality, affordable housing. It's spread out quite a bit. You find in the south there's still a number of homes that, because you don't have a central water system or central sewage system, and to build those infrastructure, you find that you have a problem with heirs property because you can't take ownership of that, and once you try to get a mortgage with heirs property, it's almost slim to none in the south. What happens is that, you know, you try to build infrastructure in place by putting a central water and central sewage system. But because the houses are so far apart, the cost of actually putting or running a water sewer line from one house to the other is very, very expensive. In the south, especially in the southeast, you find there's still a lot of homes that have outdoor, some have outdoor plumbing, some have also septic tanks. What we've done in Beaufort County about 20 years ago, we outlawed the houses at all. You have more central water sewer system than we have in the past. And there's a lack of economic opportunities also. You have a problem with education, and again, major industry will not locate as much as it should in those areas as you have a sparse population. In contrast, urban areas, less is known about human and social service conditions in rural areas. The social services, rural residents need and use, and effectiveness of those services. That's from a report that was done in 2006. The importance of rural and human services to the rural population health. Steve, you had to help me again with the AIDS study. I'm trying to remember.
Adverse childhood events?
Yeah. Adverse childhood events study. By CDC, CDC shows that adverse childhood experiences have a direct impact on health outcomes later in life. You find now, that especially not even just in the South, you find more and more problems now with childhood diabetes. We're doing a number of studies here locally. We're in most of the elementary schools with assistance from the Ronald McDonald Services and providing dental services in 21 elementary schools. And at my health center within the past week, we just received funding from a new mobile van that we're going to serve. One of the highest problems with dental services of any school district in South Carolina. That's Hampton County. The international research shows that funding for human services infrastructure, including affordable housing, has more of a positive effect on health outcomes than funding for health infrastructure. Housing is a problem. It continues to be a problem in the South and in the Southeast. The policy brief topics, the intersection of rural poverty and federal human services programs, homelessness in America. I think when we were in, in Montana recently, we heard a lot about the homelessness in rural areas. And sometimes people don't think of that. You think about substandard houses, or substandard housing. We see that quite a bit, where they're maybe living in a shack, they're living somewhere, but if they don't have indoor plumbing or they don't have electricity, there is a major problem with homelessness services there. The intersection of rural poverty and federal programs, That's a paper that was done in 2014, and I think we can even get a copy of that also. The two-part briefs. During 2014, the Advisory Committee analyzed the intersection of human services program and rural poverty. The policy brief includes two case studies that use different types of anchor organizations to contribute rural services. One was in Grand Junction, Colorado, a county-based anchor organization, and the one that was done in Bozeman, Montana. Now, Steve, they can get copies of that from the brief. Is that correct?
At the end of the presentation, there will be our website address, and you can go there and download the copies of the briefs.
Okay. Thank you. Lessons learned from the Mondo study, BHHS. Co-location services does help use data-driven best practices, engage county human services organizations. And again, what we've done at a number of places, it's not just one organization, one county, or human services organization working by themselves. We find that you have to work with partners because, again, there is not enough money, as I see, that you can actually expect one center to serve all or one agency to serve all. You have to bring the resources together and have an overlap at some point with the dollars to make sure that it works. Employing wraparound services support at-risk families. And we talk to ensure client leadership of service coordination. I think when you identify an organization or individual who is considered the leader, I think you need to ride those certain, I consider their coattails as much as you can, because some people say misery loves company, but in working together with different organizations and trying to get that leadership and having those leaders work together actually does the best service and try to deliver the services to the community. Lessons learned. The destigmatized social services, you must create community buy-in, and bridge community silos, build on existing assets, use community assessments to inform decision-making. I think it's very critical, and from what it says, using community assessments to inform decision-making, because when you're trying to make a decision and not include all parties, I think there's what I consider the best solution to some extent is to make sure that one organization may have difficulty in addressing an issue. An organization that's different may not have that same type of problem. So I think when you look and try to get those organizations to work together and using assessments to inform in the decision-making process, you find it better serves the entire community. One part of the county or one part of the organization or the city may have a different set of problems. But when you come and inform a decision-making process with the entire community, using the assessment, I think it's much better in actually receiving the answer that you're looking for. Homelessness in America, again, we addressed that in our policy brief for 2014. We found a number of what I consider things that you take for granted with homelessness. It varies from community to community. The type of housing services that are available varies. I think across the board we have a lot of different types of problem homelessness and that has to be addressed by the entire community. What do we know about ruralness of homelessness? What we know is based on a limited evidence base. I think we had some testimony, but it varies from community to community. The federal data collection homelessness is likely significantly undercounts the rural homelessness population, and for a number of reasons. The lack of rural service sites, lack of rural identifies the federal data collection, difficulty, including individuals who do not use these services. It's a lot, I think, like people who don't vote. You're trying to find out exactly why people didn't vote, but you have to do some sort of survey, some sort of analysis that you may or may not see as many people, but you know, those who are not counted are the ones that we need to get to and try and define exactly what's happening in the community. Who does the survey, how that survey is done, I think is also critical. What we know about rural homelessness can be less visible than urban homelessness. We found that out based on existing literature. Individuals having experienced homelessness in rural America are more likely to be doubled with friends and family because, again, although and I think it's more and more, you see it in the South, you may have multiple people living in households, but they don't consider themselves homeless because they are living with relatives or less than friends, and that does make a difference. Substandard housing of any of the families experience homelessness in cities also, but in rural communities, I think it's more, you identify more because you find that most of the families will have multiple families living there and they don't consider themselves as being homeless. The recommendation from the committee, the Secretary working through HHS representatives to the NAACP Council of Homeless, hopes the Director Council and its members of the agency to consider the unique needs of homeless, of rural individuals and families experience homelessness. And I think the committee itself and this recommendation, I think, is going to go to the Secretary that in September, Steve, or the latter part of the year, I'm telling you.
The recommendation, is already, this recommendation has already gone to the Secretary for consideration.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sure. Recommendation on homelessness, this committee recommends the Secretary work with the Office of the System Secretary for Planning and Evaluation. And again, this is a second recommendation also for those in need of prevention services, rural areas, additional flexibility in using existing funding streams from both agencies to meet the unique needs of the rural population. Recommendation 3, the Secretary direct federal health and human services agencies to clarify policy guidance and use of alternative mailing addresses for receiving benefits for any of the families experiencing homelessness in areas where the federal government has authority, and to engage states to clarify policy guidance on the same issue for a state program. I think if we can get a uniform state, a uniform policy, instead of having different types of bureaucratic review of the laws, I think we just have one single fight, same issue. I think it looks a lot better than that, overlapping it. Now, that's my personal opinion, by overlapping it. The use of these reports will inform the policy decisions of DHSS sector resource for rural providers who can then share findings and recognition of other fields and resources of policymakers also. With that, I guess we'll open up a question at this time, I believe.
Yes,
hi.
And
go ahead, Steve.
There's the address for the committee's website where if you click on the publications link on the main page, it will take you to the area for all the policy briefs from recent years and going back a good ways into the past as well.
Right. And those policy briefs are also available off of the webinar page for today's webinar on the Rural Assistance Center website. So you can find those either of those two ways. I guess we will open it up for questions. In this Q&A box at the bottom of the page, you can type any questions you might have for our speakers today. Not seeing any questions right now. One thing I would mention while we wait is that RAC, or the Rural Assistance Center, does have a fairly new topic guide related to human services. And that's titled Human Services to Support Rural Health. And it really talks about the intersection between human services and health and how one affects the other and all of the human services needs in rural America. So I would encourage all of you to check that out if you haven't already. And that is on the RAC website under topic guides. So.
I'll also add that the committee's next meeting will be in Kentucky in April, April 29th through May 1st, and we'll be examining a differential between rural and urban life expectancy and mortality at that meeting. And the meetings are always open to the public. Anyone is welcome to attend and can make comments at the during the meetings.
Okay.
answering any questions. Was there anything else either of our speakers would like to add before we wrap up, I guess?
Well, thank you, Christine, for hosting the Advisory Committee's webinar, and thanks to Roland for his presentation, which was terrific.
Yes,
well, you know, for myself, I speak very, very fast. I hope everybody followed me.
Okay.
All right. Well, and thanks to both of you, and thanks to all of our participants today. And there will be a survey emailed out after today's webinar, and we would encourage everybody to fill out that survey and give us your feedback on today's webinar, as well as your ideas for what sort of webinars you'd like to hear from RAC in the future. And once again, if you want the slides from today's webinar, those are available at raconline.org/webinars. And a recording and a transcript of today's webinar will be made available on the RAC website. And when those are available, we'll send a notice to you by email as well, so that you can listen again if you want, or you can share that presentation with your colleagues. So thank you to everyone for joining us today, and have a great day, colleagues. So thank you to everyone for joining us today, and have a great day.
Any with a sound experience homeless in rural America are more likely to be doubled with friends and family, because again, although, and I think it's more and more, you see it in the South, you may have multiple people living in households, but they don't consider themselves homeless because they are living with relatives and with friends, and that does make a difference. Substandard housing of any with a family experience homelessness in cities also, but in rural communities, I think it's more. You identify more because you find that most of the families will have multiple families living there, and they don't consider themselves as being homeless. The recommendation from the committee to the secretary working through HHS representatives to NAHC Council Homeless hopes that the record council and its members are able to consider the unique needs of homeless, of rural individuals and families experience homelessness. And I think the committee itself in this recommendation, I think it's going to go to the secretary that in September, Steve, or the latter part of the year, I'm telling you.
The recommendation is already, this recommendation has already gone to the secretary for consideration.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sure. Regulates, I'm doing homelessness. This committee recommends the secretary work with the Office of the System Secretary for Planning and Evaluation. And again, this is a second recommendation also for those in need of prevention services. Areas, additional flexibility in using existing funding streams from both agencies to meet the unique needs of the rural population. Recommendation 3, the secretary direct federal health and human services agencies to clarify policy guidance and use of alternative mailing addresses for receiving benefits for any of the families experiencing homelessness in areas where the federal government has authority, and to engage states to clarify policy guidance on the same issue for a state program. I think if we can get a uniform state, a uniform policy, instead of having different types of bureaucratic review of the laws, I think we just have one sort of single point, same issue. I think it looks a lot better than that. Overlapping it. Now, that's my personal opinion, by overlapping it. The use of these reports will inform the policy decisions of DHS sector resource for rural providers who can then share findings and recognition of other fields and resources of policymakers also. With that, I guess we'll open up for questions at this time, I believe.
Yes,
hi.
And
go ahead, Steve.
There's the address for the committee's website where if you click on the publications link on the main page, it will take you to the area for all the policy briefs from recent years and going back a good ways into the past as well.
Right. And those policy briefs are also available off of the webinar page for today's webinar on the Rural Assistance Center website. So you can find those either of those two ways. I guess We will open it up for questions. In this Q&A box at the bottom of the page, you can type any questions you might have for our speakers today. Not seeing any questions right now. One thing I would mention while we wait is that RAC, or the Rural Assistance Center, does have a fairly new topic guide related to human services, and that's titled Human Services to Support Rural Health. And it really talks about the intersection between human services and health and how one affects the other and all of the human services needs in rural America. So I'd encourage all of you to check that out if you haven't already. And that is on the RAC website under topic guides. So.
I'll also add that the committee's next meeting will be in Kentucky in April, April 29th through May 1st, and we'll be examining a differential between rural and urban life expectancy and mortality at that meeting. And the meetings are always open to the public. Anyone is welcome to attend and can make comments at the during the meetings.
All right. Well, I'm not seeing any questions. Was there anything else either of our speakers would like to add before we wrap up, I guess?
Well, thank you, Christine, for hosting the advisory committee's webinar, and thanks to Roland for his presentation, which was terrific.
Yes.
Well, you know, from the South, I speak very, very fast. I hope everybody followed me.
Okay.
All right. Well, and thanks to both of you, and thanks to all of our participants today. And there will be a survey emailed out after today's webinar. And we would encourage everybody to fill out that survey and give us your feedback on today's webinar, as well as your ideas for what sort of webinars you'd like to hear from RAC in the future. And once again, if you want the slides from today's webinar, those are available at raconline.org/webinars. And a recording and a transcript of today's webinar will be made available on the RAC website. And when those are available, we'll send a notice to you by email as well, so that you can listen again if you want, or you can share that presentation with your colleagues. So thank you to everyone for joining us today, and have a great day.
Thank you.